Well, good evening, everybody. Thanks for taking your time to get on our conference call this evening. We're very excited about a lot of things that are going on right now with our team, with Symmetry, March Madness. I know we have a pretty good showing. Some of you guys are on the call. I think, Brad, you may know if you're there, Brad, of who's really in the March Madness running right now. I know Michael Hooker off the top of my head and Gianna Campo and I believe Daniel Potter and Marlon Faulkner. And I think Vlad's on there and Sam as well, too, right?
That's right. I got Vlad and Sam in there.
And you guys had some good weeks, Marlon, Vlad, Sam. John, I mean, we'll see what happens in terms of the call on Wednesday, who's still in the March Madness. And hopefully if you guys were on the call a couple weeks ago, some of you guys don't know what March Madness is. I'm not going to try to explain it, but they basically bracket out all the top producers in the company for the last 90 days, and they throw in what's called wild cards, new writers, people just getting involved in the company, and they pretty much go at it like they do in the basketball in seeding in brackets, and you go up against, you know, three or four people in the beginning in 1 week. If you make it to the next round, you go up against maybe two people, and then it starts going on from there, and they add their final 16 or the Sweet 16, the Elite Eight, and Final Four, and up to the winner. So, again, if you haven't been on the calls lately, we suggest that you go to the SFG site, print out the bracket, and put yourself in there, whether you're competing for the trip or the iPad or the set of steak knives or whatever it was, a DVD, VCR type combo thing, I think, to be funny. But if you're not on it officially, put yourself in it. Put yourself in it so you can start tracking, okay, your success based on the success of other people in the company and see how far you go. I was doing some numbers, and, we have an incredible back office, agenttraining.info. If you haven't been there yet, you want to get there, you want to log in. It's agent, not Asian, but agent, A-G-E-N-T, training. You know, spell that, .info, and make sure that you log on and create an account. Very shortly, we're going to have a hierarchy system put in place where you can't access certain parts of the website until you reach a certain level with the company. When I say level, I'm not talking about a contractual level. We're talking about, have you got your license? Have you passed your test? Have you booked an appointment? Have you written or enrolled a homeowner? And we're going to start putting a hierarchy. Right now, you have access to the whole thing. Pretty soon, we're going to have a stair-step case system where you're going to have assignments. And when you pass an assignment, you get access to the next level of the website. So for now, make sure you go to agenttraining.info. Make sure you register and get on there. I know that Brad and Matt spent countless hours, who knows how many hours, putting together an upload system to where you can basically upload your application, put it on there. And literally what used to take probably 30, 40 minutes combined effort between us, the agents, the Pritch agency, Symmetry, and the carriers has been condensed in a matter of maybe less than 3 minutes. It also automatically populates a spreadsheet, which of what people are doing, what they're putting through, the carriers that they've, you know, been able to send their policies to and everything. So, I was looking at some of those numbers, and I'll tell you what, and I want to ask Matt and Brad this because it gets me excited. I know Matt and Brad came in with zero industry experience in terms of insurance. And neither one of them had a license. They knew nothing about insurance. And, you know, again, we talk about in the conference calls, you hear some of these guys like Danny Young coming in and Ashley and Sarah Pappas, and they are killing it. But we got to keep in mind, guys, not to take anything away from them because they are awesome individuals. I mean, if you guys heard Danny Young on the call last Wednesday, my God, awesome. Sarah Pappas, Ashley, I mean, the stuff that I learned from them is just phenomenal. I mean, the information, the knowledge they hold from having 3 years, 4 years, 7 years experience in the insurance industry, and especially in a system like this, which they call their practice company, because there was a company similar to this was on a high rise until the ownership changed. And basically, the owners decided that they wanted to utilize their agents for profit as opposed to helping their agents make profit. But besides that, them coming over to Symmetry and making this move, I mean, they hold a wealth of knowledge. So I know when I first got in, I asked, you know, who was the fastest to ever do 100 and 1,000 in a month? You know, who was the fastest to ever do it? I think it was like a year and a half. Is that right, Brad? They were saying something like a year and a half or something to us? To have their team do 100,000 in volume?
Yeah,
I'm thinking, okay, what am I missing here? You know, what's this, you know, thing? They say that there's a learning curve. It's okay, great, we can take care of that through training. There's you know, people, they get excited and they quit. Okay, well, if we find the right people, that's not going to happen. Most people realize it's a business. You got to invest in your business to make money. You got to have a little bit of a learning curve. But I just kept saying, you know, what am I missing? And to see what Matt and Brad have done is truly amazing to me. I mean, going from a point where, and I'm not going to take away from their upline, so to speak, but the mentor that they were personally assigned with, they've already passed. The person above him is doing phenomenal, but the training that they receive versus the training that they're giving, it is just, you can't even compare it. I mean, for what Matt and Brad, I got a chance to be on the phone with Matt today going over some of the how to market different products, whether it be Critical Period or the Home Protector. And, man, I filled up probably 3 pages of notes. Yeah, I helped him with my experience, but I was helping him because I always said, you know, if I'm a quarterback and I'm throwing a ball and I get any interceptions, how in the heck is the coach going to know how to help me throw the ball if every time he comes on the field I run into the locker room? Then he comes in the locker room and goes, hey, where's Nate? You know, he's throwing the ball. Oh, he's back on the field. And then as soon as the coach comes back out, I go back in the locker room. I mean, how can you get better unless you let someone who's better than you watch you throw the ball? And so from day one, I wanted Edward to watch me throw the ball and Matt to watch me throw the ball and Brad to watch me throw the ball so I could start to learn how can I get better, get less interceptions, make less mistakes, get more yardage out of my throws, spot people that are open when I didn't see them before, read defenses. How can I get better if I'm not willing to have them watch me throw the ball? And I had a chance to have Matt watch me throw the ball today, and hopefully it was fairly decent. But to hear him going over with some of the new guys we're getting started here, just here in Dallas, go through what he does, I mean, I learned so much. And so it's invaluable having them part of our team, and for what they've picked up so quickly and what they've been able to do in terms of building an organization, guys, it blows me away. I mean, how long were you guys in, Matt and Brad, before you guys hit 50,000 on your team in a month?
Well, we hit it in our second month. We did 52,000. But I will say this, though, I was 23,000 of that, and I think Matt was like 15,000 of that. So it didn't really take a whole lot. You know,
so that's not fair right there, right?
Yeah.
But I know that you guys, and we talk about agency manager, and they throw agency manager around, guys. Agency manager is nothing more than a title. If your team does 50,000 3 months in a row, you hit the level of agency manager. To be a qualified agency manager, you can't even get there until 10 months. A qualified agency manager is someone who has reached the 85% contracting level, which you can move up 5% every 2 months. Review your documents in the back office of how you do that. So you can go from 60 to 65 to 70 to 75, 80 to 85. It would collectively take you 10 months to become what's called a qualified agency manager, where basically you are at an 85% contracting level. Your team has been doing 50,000 a month consecutively for a 3 month period. If you miss it, you start over, and then you're an agency manager, and you're also nominated. You're nominated by your organization, the people in your upline, and say, hey, we feel that this person has the ability to train, teach, and manage a team of people. Now, I know both Matt and Brad, I believe, are qualified agency managers now, obviously. But I think, you know, how long did it take you guys to accomplish that where your team was consistently doing 50,000 a month for 3 months?
Oh, we just hit it right at the first of the year. So it was about nine full months to hit agency manager officially.
And then how long did it take you to go from 50,000 over 100,000?
Probably, let's see, I think the first month we did that was, I want to say, September or October. So
no, April, November. May. November was the first month we hit 100,000, and then we've hit 100,000 every month since then.
So it was, I think, 7 months. 7 months to hit 100,000.
Okay, so it took you 7 months, basically, to have 3 months in a row, 50,000, and then less than 2 months, you went to 100,000.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's averaging about 25,000 a week. And I know you guys don't know this yet, but I was doing some calculations before the call, and you guys did over 52,000 with your agency this week alone, which is awesome.
Yeah.
Because to me, what gets me excited, guys, this is what's called compounding. I mean, people don't – see, in school we get learned from, you know, 1 plus 1 is 2 and 2 plus 2 is 4, and we learn all this kind of stuff. But you don't start to realize when, in terms of your income, is that the hardest part is in the beginning. Have you ever seen a house get – I mean, not a house. Even a house get built, or these big buildings if you live downtown – and you see these big fences that are up around, and they're pouring the concrete, and there's all these workers there every single day, and it looks like nothing's happening, right? Nothing's happening. I mean, it's just, it's, you're like, well, what's taking them so long? 6, 7, 8 months. it's almost exactly what you guys done. And all of a sudden, within less than 3, 4, 5 months, you see a 110-story high-rise get built up. And the foundation is the hardest part. And for me to see that you're going from 50,000 a month less than 3 or 4 months ago to 100,000 to 50,000 in a week blows me away. We haven't even gotten started yet. That's with 10 writers. Now, granted, you guys skew the numbers a little bit, you know, going out there doing 8,000 a week, 7,000 a week, 6,000, 4,000, whatever the case may be. But to see that growth and to see what's going to start to happen, a lot of you guys are just getting started now. You know, you're like, man, I would be lucky if I close one application. But understand, you know, that was, it took them, what, 6, 7 months to get to 50,000 consistently or so with your team, between you and a few other writers. And now you guys have popped up in less than 3 or 4 months into 50,000 in a week. And I mean, to me, I mean, just. Yeah. Just seeing that, it just kind of paints a picture of what's possible. And we didn't have agenttraining.info until recently. We didn't have what we're doing in terms of conference calls. I mean, we just started a conference call about less than a month ago. So when we get you guys to figure out that, you know, when you go out and learn this thing and you bring other people along to learn from people like Matt and Brad, even Paul Honeycutt and Edward, you know, you don't have to be an expert at this because they're taking their, you know, 10-month, 11-month experience and applying it to your brand-new guy. And I wanted to go over some numbers real quick, and I wanted to see if you and Matt want to say anything, Brad, in terms of covering a few things, and we're going to open up the questions and answers. But, you know, I look at the company average, and I always talk about average. You know, you're taking the guy who wrote one app in a month, and you're taking the person who's going out there doing 20, 30,000 in a month, and they average it out. I mean, I believe with the company average, it's about 5, 10,000 in APV a month, and I think it's lower down to, it's closer to 5,000, and right now our team and your team, our team, is averaging about 5,000 a week. I know LaVita Stanley got, you know, 1,254 this week, and Melinda Hobney, brand new writer, 1,329 this week. Michael Hooker did 2,500 this week. Gianna did 3,750. Sam Phillips, I'm proud of you, buddy. I got a chance to meet you at conference. You know, you killed it this week, 3,871. And these guys are new. I mean, I think Sam's less than 90 days old, right, Brett?
Yeah, he's right at 90 days.
I know Vlad, you know, he got started and took, you know, had some other things come up in terms of other things he needed to take care of and came back strong. You're, you know, did 6,400 this week. It's just awesome. Brad, 7,200 this week. And I'm rounding off numbers. Marlon, 7,400 this week. Matt, 8,500 this week. You know, I did a little bit more than that. So, you know, to have this leadership example, and that's the 10 people who wrote this week. I know we have about, I think, 8 to 10 new writers going out this week. So just to see, you know, we add another 8 to 10 writers and see what's going to happen this week, is I'm excited. So I don't know if there's anything you guys want to talk about, and we want to open up for questions and kind of roll from here. But, you know, it's exciting what's going on, guys, in terms of Symmetry, March Madness, especially with our team. We got a strong presence coming out all across the country, and we're going to start locking up these counties to where people can't come in and take those counties because we have them locked down. So we talked about getting A-lead orders, standing lead orders in last week, and making sure that you, you know, have enough resources to run your business because you're buying your production. So I don't want to keep, you know, beating a dead horse, as they say. So I'll turn it over to you, Matt. Brad?
Well, one thing I wanted to add, and I appreciate all that, Nate, but I just want everyone to kind of understand, and people that have met us probably realize this, that we're really nothing special. I mean, right now, there's just a big opportunity with Symmetry. The timing is unbelievable. I mean, the company is, about 5 years old, and they're just now really starting to hit that growth spurt. And there's a lot of opportunity for leadership and for building. And I think the only thing unique about Brad, and I don't even say it's unique, but is that we saw that opportunity. And we made a decision to do something with it and to build it. And there's nothing that anybody on this call doesn't have as far as, you know, capabilities of building a team, building an organization, developing into leaders, developing leaders within the organization. There's nothing different about Brad and I, or, you know, anybody on this call. It's just, are you at the point in your life where you're ready to make a decision to you know, built something that is going to be around for a long time, that we can pass down for generations. Because my personal feeling is that this is not an opportunity that's going to be there forever. You know, right now there's a certain amount of market share available, and not to say that, you know, if somebody were to join in 5 years from now or 10 years from now, that there wouldn't be opportunities, but they're not going to be the same opportunities. They're not going to be the same opportunities for leadership, for building an organization. It's not going to be as easy. It's a little bit easier, I think, when you are growing into a new territory. And so I would just encourage everybody to don't take that opportunity lightly, because I think if the opportunity is right, then it can make these numbers look like, wow, you know, how do you do that? How do you go from, you know, and it's a little mind-boggling for me. You know, 50,000 a month, it seemed like we were just doing 50,000 a month. And now we look at the numbers, we're like, oh my goodness, are those numbers right? $52,000 in a week. You know, in January we did 124,000 as a team. February we did pretty close to that. And then all of a sudden now we're up to 52,000 in a week. And we're really not doing anything different now than we were in January. And we weren't really doing anything different in January than we were back in October or back in August or back in March or April when we got started. It's just really doing the same thing, doing it over and over and over and being consistent about it and being consistent about it and sharing it with other people and being excited about it. And eventually you start to see what Nate's talking about, this kind of exponential growth. It's like, wow, this is really happening, and it's happening fast. And we want to help everybody on this call be able to capitalize on that same exact opportunity. So I just kind of wanted to throw that out there, you know, because, you know, I appreciate, Nate, all the encouraging words, and then you're really building us up, but I just really feel like we're nothing special. There's nothing unique about us. You know, a lot of it, I think, is bringing on people like Nate and people like Marlon and a lot of the leadership that we have. But it's just sharing that with other people and duplicating yourself and replicating yourself, and it just starts to build.
Well, I think you make such a great point, and I want to hear from you too, Matt, is, you know, it's doing the same thing over and over and over again and getting the results that you want and getting better results based on the fact of learning it. And it's funny how you say you're not doing anything different now than you were in the beginning, but, you know, if you guys have kids, you know, one of the hottest items out Christmas before then and stuff was that whatever rainbow loom or crazy loom where they're putting all those little colorful rubber bands, and whoever thought of that, I want to shoot them because they made millions, hundreds of millions of dollars taking rubber bands and making them different colors and putting little videos online of how to make these bracelets. And if you had kids or around kids and, you know, this hot item, it's like, I remember my son, he's 7 years old, he got his first rainbow loom, and he was so frustrated. You know, and he was trying to do the little thing, and he couldn't figure out where to take the rubber band to go from one side to the other side. And, you know, he's trying to go online, and I kept saying, I said, Alex, I said, you're learning something new. Anytime you learn something new, don't expect to be good at it. Don't be afraid to make mistakes. Because he would get halfway through and he'd be like, oh, I did it wrong. I just take it off and start over again. And I wish I had a video of the progression of what he was the first day he had that rainbow loom in his hand and how frustrated he was, almost to the point of crying, like he was so frustrated. And I just said, you need to take a deep breath and relax and don't expect to be perfect at it. Don't expect to be great at it in the beginning. But if you do it long enough, it's possible. Other kids your age are doing the rainbow loom. Other kids watch this video. And he started, it was so funny, I'm thinking, man, God, this is success right here. He started watching videos, and he'd get on YouTube, and he would start watching the videos of how to create it. I'd say pause it if you need to pause, rewind it if you need to rewind it, just keep watching it over and over and over again. Now you can put the kid in the room. I mean, we got stacks of rubber bands everywhere. You find them in, you know, in the drawers and the floor and the washing machine. And you could have him make 10 bracelets in 10 minutes where he couldn't even get half a quarter of a bracelet done in 10 minutes 5 months ago. And that's what's happening with your guys' business. And I know someone's on speaker. I can't know who's on speaker. If you're on speaker, just mute it real quick because you're getting a really bad feedback. But that's what's happening in your business. That's what's happening to my business. It's what's happening to everyone's business is the fact that you know, in the beginning, it can be frustrating. Now, are some of you guys going to figure out how to wrap the rubber bands quicker? Absolutely. Are some of you guys going to figure out how to make things happen? But you can't compare yourself to other people. You can't go, oh, look at Marlon. My God, 6,700 a week. I can't do that. Yes, you can. If you can close, I hate the word close, if you can enroll one homeowner and submit one policy, why can't you do two? And if you do two, why can't you do four? And if you do four, why can't you do eight? If you do eight, why can't you do 16? And the answer is you can. So whether it takes you 6 months, God forbid, to figure out how to enroll somebody into one of our products, which shouldn't happen, or 6 days or 6 hours, compare yourself to where you were, like my seven-year-old was, the first time you pulled out your rainbow loom. Where were you when you did that? How long did, you know, are you better off now than you were 6 days ago? And so when we go through the numbers, I know it can be frustrating, guys, because sometimes you want to compare yourself to other people that are involved. You need to compare yourself to where you've been and where you're at today. And if you've made a progress and you made a stride and you got farther along than where you were, you're on the right path. And the way to get better is to be on these calls and to plug into these conference calls. And it amazes me, guys. There's, you know, if we look at our organization, how many people actually are involved with it versus the ones on the calls. And we say it over and over again. It's so funny. All the top people are always on the calls. I get a list of the calls. I can see everyone is on the call right now, when they got on, who's talking, who's not talking. You know, we have an incredible service. I can disconnect people if they're being, you know, loud and their noise is not going away. It gives me a little meter of how loud their noise is and who it is. And I can hit a little mute button. And to see that all the top people, the names that you hear, they're on the call every week. The top people that you hear, the top four or five, they're on the Symmetry call every Wednesday. And so it's like, well, we got to really do it. I mean, social media is great, texting is great, but it's also a kill the human experience of one-on-one experience. When I'm building an organization, when I made my millions of dollars and I went out there and I was had the success and everyone was like, whoa, how did you go out and do it? I was like, hey, you guys going to be on the conference call? Until they were on the conference call. I knew they were on the conference call. Listen, you got to be on the conference call this week. And I get a hold of my agents, and I promote it, and I make sure they're on the conference call because I knew that was the lifeblood of my business. I know there's information that Brad and Matt will cover when we open this question and answer here in a second, when we'll Matt talk, that is invaluable to my agents on the phone tonight. Invaluable. It can make it a make-or-break-it week for them. It could turn them into a $1,000 a month to a $5,000 a month. And so what our job is to do is, as we start building it, is create a culture where you got to be on the calls. You got to make sure that you're plugging into the system if you want the success that you want. So I love what you say, Brad, in terms of you're not doing much different. And it's such a reality in success, is getting good at doing the same thing over and over and over again and making sure that you're following a system. Or Matt, was that you talking, Matt? I always get you guys mixed up. I apologize.
Yeah, that was Matt talking.
Hey, well, the good news is no one else knew. Or maybe they did. I didn't know. Sorry, Matt. Go ahead. So I guess with Brad, and then we'll open up the questions and answers.
Well, what I was going to say is I really think the difference between the three of us and a lot of the top leaders and kind of everyone else is the light bulb went off for us. And if the light bulb hasn't gone off, I mean, I feel so sorry for a lot of people that end up quitting before the light bulb ever goes off. A perfect example of, and it took 2 years for the light bulb to go off for Paul Honeycutt. And I love Paul Honeycutt's story. Paul had, and if you guys don't know, Paul, we're in Paul Honeycutt's agency, and he's one of the mentors for our group. He was, one of my main mentors and Matt's main mentors when we got started. And for 2 years, he really hadn't recruited anybody. It was just him going out in the field, and he was consistent. He was doing $10,000 to $20,000 a month, and nobody in the company really knew who he was. And, he'd been to the conferences, and he really hadn't started recruiting because I think for him it was to see Edward and, you know, all these top agency managers, it seemed like so far in the future for him that it was so hard for him to take that first step in actually starting to recruit and build an agency. And all of a sudden, he recruited Doug McGowan, who recruited Matt and I, who recruited Nate Offer and Sam and Vlad, and who recruited Bryce and Marlon and all these guys. And all of a sudden, that lit a fire under Paul Honeycutt. And Matt always says that fires always start from the bottom. If you're going to start a fire, you never start from the top. You start from the bottom, and it builds and you know, just builds the entire fire. So that's what happened with Paul Honeycutt. All of a sudden, he started gaining belief in the system, gaining belief in himself. And now, if you look at Paul Honeycutt's group, as well as our group is doing, we're still only about half of Paul Honeycutt's group. And when we got started, there was really nobody else in Paul Honeycutt's group. So you think about that. One guy is building a team almost equal to me, Matt, and Nate. And this is a guy that really hadn't done anything for 2 years. So what that tells me is Paul Honeycutt had this ability in him from the very beginning. It was just a matter of taking one foot in front of the other, one step at a time. And, you know, now it's more of a motivation to keep ahead of this big wave that's happening with our group. So, you know, you think about that. If you had a Nate offer or, you know, one of us on your team, what would you do to keep up? And if you would do that then, why not do it now? When are you gonna have that aha moment and that light bulb that goes off? You know, we don't have the privilege that Paul Honeycutt had of waiting 2 years. He got in the company when it was early enough that momentum hadn't started. His light bulb went off right when momentum was starting to happen. And a lot of people on this call, everyone on this call, momentum's already here, and you're eventually either going to quit or going to have that light bulb go off. It's one or the other. And when that light bulb goes off, is it going to be too late to build the agency? Is it going to be too late to start dominating different markets? Or are you going to see it early enough to start taking over your market and some other markets in the country? So I just think it's a lot about when that light bulb is going to go off and that aha moment for you. For us, it was at a conference in August. For Nate, I think it was before. I mean, he hadn't even gone to a conference. He just saw it. You know, he saw the compensation, but he's been around enough businesses. And when when you're mentored by somebody making $1 million a week, you start recognizing opportunity quicker than other people do. And he saw it right away. So other people, it's going to take a little time, but you've got to have that light bulb go off before you finally start kicking it into high gear and making things happen.
No, I love that, Brad. We're going to open up to questions and answers and stuff. But, I mean, it's, you know, I was always taught anyone who excels at anything attacks it with a passion and a vengeance. Anyone who excels at anything excels, not mediocre, average, get by. And again, guys, I hate talking about this because there's people on this phone that will be excited about making $5,000 a month. That's okay. That's great. That's phenomenal. $2,000 a month, extra money, pay down their credit cards, have more free time with their families, be able to, take off work and not have to have a job and have a boss. We want that in our organization. There's going to be a lot of people in the organization that are like that. So we don't want to chase those people away. But for those of you who are listening and go, hey, I want to make $1 million a year. I want to make $1 million a month. I want to make $50,000 a month. Anyone who excels at anything, I was taught, attacks it with a passion and a vengeance. They say, my mentor said, it's like a hurricane or tornado. There's evidence that it came through. And he said, if you do that, Nate, you'll be amazed at your results. So any business I got involved with, I made a decision to get involved with it, I've always thought about, I got to be a hurricane. I got to be a tornado. I got to attack this thing with a vengeance, with a passion. I want to get wealthy, and I want to make waves, and I want to have evidence that I was around, and the hurricane was there, and the tornado was there, and I'll be amazed by our results. I didn't get caught up in what do I do here, and how do I do this, and what if he says that? Oh, my God. I didn't get caught up. I'm like, I'm a hurricane. I'm a tornado. Here we go. Let's go. Let's make a mess of it. I always say, if you want to make $10,000 a month, you're going to make 10,000 mistakes. How quickly do you want to make them? And the difference between a Gianna Campo, a Marlon Faulkner, a Vlad, a Sam, a Brad, a Matt, I mean, and again, I hate naming names, and leave them out, Michael Hooker, I mean, I keep going on and on, is that they see that. They say, I want to be a hurricane. I want to be your tornado. I want to go out there, and I want to attack this thing with a vengeance and a passion. And for those of you who really want to do that, guys, now is the time. right now we are on a 2 to 3 year growth period that we'll never have a chance to get back. All the could've, would've, should'ves, and I saw that. And when I after I interviewed Casey and Brandon and Edward and Matt and Brad and the top people, I met Kevin Purdy and Joe DeVecchio and Nancy Dominguez and Julie Rinaldi, and I started realizing, you know what, there's a very small window. It's large to some people in their mind, but it's a very small window for us to go out there and attack this thing with a vengeance and a passion. And I know right now it took, you know, my organization, I think, Brad, you know, about 3-4 months to get 10 active writers out there, or 7 or 8. Some are active in a week, some aren't and stuff. And I know I looked at the numbers this week of people ordering leads. You know, there was over 20, and I know we got close to 40 people on the call tonight. So it's, you know, that same exponential growth. It's harder to go from 0 to 10,000 APV a month than it is to go from 100,000 to 500,000. And see, it messes up our brains, right? Because, oh, that's not what I was taught in school. You know, how is that possible? It's harder to go from you personally from 0 to 10,000 ATV in a month. That's harder to do than to go from 100,000 to 500,000. It's harder for you to go from one person in your organization than it is to go from 10 to 50. I didn't go out and recruit the 10 new writers. I got 3 of them. But what are those 10 new writers going to do? What did each go out and get 2? Now you got 20. Each go out and get 2. Now you got 40, 80, 160, 320, 640. I can't do math past that. So the hardest part is now. The hardest, the most grueling part is getting started, planting the seeds. We can do a whole seminar on the phone tonight about planting seeds, and we're such an instant society. It's so many of us, like, you know, you're standing by the microwave. You stop it 2 seconds before it's done because you can't wait. You're pissed off because there's 3 people in front of you at the drive-thru. You go to the grocery store, you pick up an apple, you pick up a peach, you pick up a lime, you pick up a lemon. There's jalapenos over there. There's shiitake mushrooms over here. And you don't know what goes into that. We're planting seeds right now. A lot of you guys on the phone, you're planting a seed. You got to water it. Weeds are going to grow. And you don't see the roots growing. Don't be frustrated in the beginning. You may not see the roots growing, but I guarantee you guys, if you keep watering the seed and you keep taking out the weeds by being on the conference calls and by surrounding yourself with successful people and getting the negative people out of your life, and you start getting passionate about becoming a better person, those roots are growing underneath the ground. That's what happened with Matt and Brad. 6-7 months? Come on. In 2 weeks, they're going to do what it took them 6 or 7 months to accomplish on their team. Paul Honeycutt, same thing. And that's what Brad and Matt are both talking about. Water the seed. Plant the seed. Make a decision. Have that aha moment and attack it with a vengeance and attack it with a passion. So what I want to do, I know we have 40 people on the phone call tonight, or close to it. I want to open it up to some questions and answers. Here's what I'm going to ask you guys to do, just for sake of time, because we don't want to go too long. Ask questions that are relatable to your situation, not what ifs, hypotheticals, what happens if, because, I mean, we could be on the phone all night long doing that. But some of you guys that are in the field, what's going on and need help with? Some of the guys that maybe you just gotten started and you go, this would have helped me better if we were able to implement this. What can we do to help me better doing that? And just open it up right now and ask the question that's on your mind, because most of the questions that are the best questions are always the unasked questions. I don't know why it is. And if you're thinking about this, most likely everyone on this phone also has the same question. So we're going to open it up. Go ahead. Who has got the first question?
Hey, it's Bryce. Hey, I want to hear you do the how you build the value, you know, prior to presenting price, which you could probably do here real quick. But just share, like, what you do on that part, and I think we need a video of that very near future.
And I want Brad and Matt, because Matt said some really awesome things on the phone with him today, and I know Brad does too, but and again, guys, when I'm in the home, I had my script there. It was so funny. I had my critical period script when I was selling critical period. I had my in-home script, what to say in the home script, the little 9 items, whatever it was. I had that in front of me because I wasn't that good. I got thrown into this thing. I had no idea. I didn't know how to fill an application on my first appointment. I didn't know how to run the software on my first appointment. I didn't know how to do any of that kind of stuff. I was just like, hey, I got appointments. What do I do? They said, sell home protector. Okay, great. I listened to the audios. I didn't have videos to watch. But the more and more you're starting to be in the field and the more and more you get a better grasp of this, I've talked about this before, I think it was. I don't know if it was this call or another call. But this is the recipe we're going to give you. You're going to be able to add your own spice. You're going to be able to have your own stories you put into this. You're going to have your own personality that you put into this. You don't have to do it like Brad does it, like Matt does it, like I do it. But one of the things, and again, if someone's on speaker, let me find out who is the noise person is, and I'll mute them. Let me see here. Did that make it go away? I think it did. I think what Bryce is asking about, Bryce, and correct me if I'm wrong, but when we're in the home, when I start talking about, you know, before I present the numbers to them about the value, is that what you're talking about?
Yes.
Okay. So if I'm sitting in the house and I'm getting ready to show them their options, whether it be for critical period or whether it be for the home protector and stuff, and, you know, one of the first things I always tell them is, you know, I just to let you guys know, I'm not here to sell you anything. Okay, I don't have something in my bag. I kind of look at my bag that I'm going to pull out and try to convince you to buy. I realized a long time ago that there is no one-size-fits-all product. Everyone's situation is unique and it's different. And my job really is just to kind of show you what I found in terms of working with my 36 different carriers where, you know, I show you what you qualify for. And what our goal is to really do is allow you to customize this coverage to fit your needs and, most importantly, fit into the budget. Now, to me, a budget is kind of a loaded word. You know, we all budget our money for things that we see of value. Some people I know, they budget $150 a month to watch TV. Some people spend $150 a month to have their cell phone. Some people budget $300 a month for cigarettes or beer or to go out to eat or vacation. So I made the mistake before, which I don't want to make with you guys. I don't want to determine ahead of time what you see value in. I don't know what kind of value you see in terms of your life or your wife or your family. So what I want to do today is just kind of show you everything you qualify for and then give you the opportunity to basically tell me what you see value in. Does that make sense? And listen, I'm not here to judge. You know, I have some people, you know, you walk into a beautiful home and they have, you know, $150 a month that they're spending on their TV. That's awesome. They see value in that, but, you know, $50 a month they don't want to spend on insurance. That's okay. There's other people I know. I met with a 68-year-old gentleman the other day, and he has some health issues, and you know, they're lower income. And I remember I said, I think that's too much money, and I made a mistake of saying, I don't think you know, are you sure you want to do that particular price each month? You know, I don't want to make it a hardship on you. And he basically almost slammed his fist on the table and said, hey, if I die today, I don't want my baby having to worry about paying for this home. And he saw value in paying $300 a month for his coverage. So just to let you guys know, my job right now is to kind of present this to you and show you what you qualify for, and it's your job to take over, customize the coverage that you see value in. And that's kind of where I kind of lead into that before I actually pull out and start showing them the numbers. Brad, Matt?
That is such a great question that I wouldn't mind actually answering that too, because that is really – to me, the most important part of enrolling people into a policy. It's really, really important, number one, to collect enough ammunition. And we always talk about this, ammunition in the beginning. And ammunition being, you know, why are you doing this? Why is this important to you? What's the main concern? Who are the people that it's going to benefit? What are their names? You know, who is it going to be, your kids? Is it going to be the spouse? Do you already have any insurance in play, any sort of life insurance? Do you have any other investments? I want to know everything about their current financial picture, and I also want to know what that financial picture is going to look like when they're gone, because that ammunition is what I'm going to use to shoot down objections at the end. So if I don't collect enough ammunition in the beginning, I'm not going to be able to shoot down the objections at the end. So when I'm sitting down and, you know, I've already collected all the ammunition, I've already gone through the types of coverage, I've already got the why out on the table, why this is a concern for them, why they filled this form. Before I go into pricing, and it's going to be a little different with critical period or, you know, final expense, versus a full mortgage payoff. But let's just say it's full mortgage payoff. What I want to do is I want to spend just a little bit of time on each possible benefit. Okay, and I use the birthday cake example. Nate uses the house. I like the house a little better. I just haven't practiced it. But when I explain the benefit of, and I'll just go really briefly through the different benefit options, I'll say to them, I first edify the company. Whatever company I'm about to recommend, you guys have to realize we only work with top A-plus rated companies. So every company we work with is a great company. I love every company we work with. So I tell my client that. I'll say, Mary, Bob, I work with about 3 dozen different insurance companies. And every one of them looks at different issues differently. They rate different issues differently in age groups. And after looking at your situation, your age group, and your health history, the best option is going to be American Amicable. And I love American Amicable. They're a great company, debt-free, been in business for over 80 years. But the reason I like them so much, number one, only about probably 3 or 4 out of 10 people will even qualify for this product because they're very picky as far as health. You've got to be in pretty good health and under a certain age limit to qualify. You guys shouldn't have too much of a problem qualifying. Of course, I can't guarantee anything until we actually send an application. It goes to underwriting. But you should qualify. So the reason I like this product so much is because of all the benefits that are available that are not available with other companies, other products. Rather than just being a basic life insurance product where if you just die, it pays off the mortgage, there's other benefits available. So I'm going to tell you what the benefits that are available. You tell me what's important to you guys. And I'll go through the birthday cake. The first one is a death benefit. It's going to pay up $150,000 in case you die. There's an accidental death benefit. So if you die of an accident, car accident, fall off a roof, any sort of an accident, it's going to double to $300,000. Okay. Now, normally I'm not a big fan of accidental death, but it's only a few dollars extra a month, so it just makes sense to double it in case of an accident. The third option is a critical illness. And critical illness means that if you have a heart attack, stroke, cancer, and about 15 other things, it's going to pay out anywhere from 25 to 50% up to 100% of the death benefit, up to $100,000. So let's just say it's 50%, $50,000, 50% of 150 is $75,000. So if you have a heart attack, a stroke, cancer, paralysis, blindness, it's going to pay out $75,000. The reason this is important to me is because my dad had 2 strokes in his 30s. He was 33 and 36, and I'm 35. So that really hits home for me, critical illness. You're far more likely to have a critical illness than you are of dying. Even though it's very important to have protection in case you die, we already stated what the financial situation would look like if you were to die. But critical illness, you're far more likely, and a lot of times it's a harder financial hardship because now not only do you not have the income, but now you have other bills and medical bills that are going to be due also. So that's a really big deal to me. The fourth option is disability. A lot of people have disability through work, so it's not a big deal, but it's usually only 60% disability, and most people would have a very hard time living on 60% of their income. So this disability is going to pay the mortgage payment. The other 60% you get through work would pay the rest of the bills. And the last option is return to premium, which means you're going to get all – if you go through this policy, and knock on wood, we hope that nothing happens between now and the time that the mortgage is paid off. But when this policy ends, you're going to get every dollar spent on the death benefit back into your pocket. And we all know most people don't do enough for retirement. So to do a policy like this, it's going to end up being about $40,000, $50,000 that you get back. So out of all these options, death benefit, accidental death, critical illness, disability, return of premium, which one of these options is not important? Which one could you care less about? And almost every single time they say, well, I want all of it. I care about all of it. I almost never get somebody to tell me that they don't care about one thing, because I spent just a little bit of time building value in each part of it, and that's really what separates this from a basic life insurance policy. It covers them for every possible scenario. So you know, I'm tailoring it. You've got to realize we're not building value in a general sense. We're building value in a very specific sense, specific to that individual. So everything that I talk about, it's based off of what they told me about their situation. I'm using names. I'm using Mary, Bob. I'm using the kids' names, Jason, whatever the names are. I'm tailoring it specifically for them. So if Mary, if Bob has a heart attack and he can't work, Mary, you're going to get $75,000. So not only are you going to be able to pay the mortgage, but you're also going to be able to, you know, not have the pressure of Bob going back to work. He can heal properly. And so I'm really tailoring it to each individual and building value on where they've told me this is important to me, this is not important to me. So I'm going to focus on what they told me is important to me and how this is going to get them what they want. Because what's important to me may not be important to them. I want to know first what is important to you and what is not important to you. And I'm going to show them this product is going to get you what you want, and here's how. And I'm doing it in a consultative manner, not in a sales manner. I'm doing it in a way that I listen to what they say, and I'm hearing them, and I say, okay, based on what you've told me, this is what I would recommend. Okay, out of all these products, all these options, based on what you've told me, this is what I would recommend. Not pushing a product and selling it. And that way they look at me more like a doctor looks at a patient, or a patient looks at a doctor. They know that I'm analyzing their particular situation, and I'm going to prescribe the right medication for them. That's my approach. Hope that helps.
It helps more than you know. I'm still writing stuff down. I know Matt, I think I muted you there. Are you there, Matt? Uh-oh. Hang on a minute.
Yes, Bryce, I'm here.
No, Matt Smith, are you there? Brad, can you still hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay.
Why don't we go to another question?
Oh, well, hang on. Is Matt
there? There you go. Yeah, can you hear me?
Sorry about that. Yeah, I was getting an echo from your phone. It's okay, though.
Well, you guys pretty much nailed it. I mean, there's a few kind of things that I add, but I don't want to complicate. You've already gone over a lot, and I don't want to complicate it for people. But I mean, you guys nailed it. But you know, what's interesting is that I really don't feel like there's a right way to do this. That's kind of what I've learned is that, you talked about how you kind of add your own spice, and I do it differently than both of you guys. Each one of us does it a little bit differently, but yet we're both, you know, writing most of the policies that we sit with. So I think one thing that I would, you know, I do definitely do that Brad's also doing is tailoring it to the person you're talking to. And I think depending on your market, you're going to end up doing more of one thing versus another. So like my market, I'm a little bit, I'm in East Tennessee, and there's a lot of unhealthy and older people in East Tennessee. So I do probably 70%, maybe even 80% critical period and writing whole life rather than. Can you guys hear me okay?
Yeah,
you're good. Yep.
Okay, I was starting to get an echo there. So rather than the American Amicable, you know, I look forward when I get an American Amicable presentation, like, wow, this is awesome. So, 'cause most of mine are United Home Life. So I really kind of, I guess, I don't want to say perfected, but that's really my niche is the critical period option. So, now, Bryce, I don't know if that answers your question. I don't know if were you asking more of what do you say before you actually do the presentation, or was that
no,
kind of your...
No, that's perfect. This is perfect. I just wanted to hear, especially how Nate ran through the whole value compared to your cable bill and your cell phone, you know, what do you place value on? I think we should go to another question. Like you guys all suggested. So.
Yeah, I think we'll go to another question because, I mean, yeah, it's just about getting their brain to realize they're already spending money and we're all budgeting. When you say the budget, people's brain kind of go, you know, we're all budgeting money for things that we see value in. Some people see value in more things than others, and so we're not here to judge, but I'll show you everything, and you can tell me what you see value in terms of your family and protecting them. So Another quick question, and then we're going to wrap up. Who else has a question?
Sam Phillips.
Go ahead, Sam. You're killing it, buddy.
What's that? Oh, thanks, man. quick question. I owe that completely to Brad and Matt. Talked to him literally, you can ask him probably 5-6 times a day at least. But question is, I want to say a week ago or last week, you guys, I think it was Nate, went over something that I was dealing with a lot. And they say the price is right. They say the amount of coverage they can qualify for is good. They just want to talk to their guy, or they want to think about it, or and you really hit that right on the head, and I was wondering if you could kind of go over that one more time. It's kind of going with what you guys are already talking about, but if you can kind of read just even just your posture and everything you do when they say that to you, that really helped out a whole lot with me. If you could go over that again, I think I'd really I didn't write it down at the time, but I started applying that right away, and that seriously made a huge difference. I appreciate that.
And what exactly was that again? What was their question?
You were talking about, you were sitting at the table with them, and they're like, yeah, this is, you know, this is good, but I'm not going to buy right now. I want to think about that, or I want to talk to my insurance guy or my financial guy. And you talked about how you would, you'd shut the laptop, and, you know, you just the whole posture that you would handle as far as, you know, well, if this is something that's not really important right now.
Well, I think the first thing,
remember going over that?
Yeah, I remember, and one of the things I learned from Brad and Matt were one of the quick keys to that is you know, if you hear Matt and Brad talk about how they posture it and how they talk about the value and creating the value, which we'll talk about when we wrap the call. But one of the things is that, you know, again, we're making sure that we can't get, you know, Brad says it perfectly, we can't guarantee you're going to qualify for this. We're not going to know until we submit that application. So I have that in my mind, you know, like this is something they have to qualify for. I'm not there to sell them anything. It's something I have a conversation with, figure out what their needs are, how we're going to address their needs, solve their problems, so to speak, or their concern, make the number fit into their budget, but they still got to qualify for it. So one of the first things that I probably say 80% of the time will work if they just want to think about it, say that, I always agree with them. I completely understand. I mean, it's obviously a big decision. You know, we want to make sure that we think about it, and we're going to have some time to think about this along the process. And I think one of the things that a lot of people miss is explaining the process to them. They got to understand what this process is. I mean, a lot of people, when they sign paperwork, if you buy a car, or you buy a house, you're buying new windows for your home, or whatever, you know, you're ordering something online, as soon as you put that signature down, as soon as you get that bank check, you know, it's a done deal. That's not the case, so to speak, for this. So 80% of the time, I can overcome that very simply by just saying, okay, great, you know, I acknowledge that they want to think about it, tell them it's a smart decision, you know, it's a whole, we're going to do a whole training on attack and confess, and there's steps of attacking and confessing, and getting people to lead them to make a decision, but one of the things is just basically to, you know, get the application and say, hey, great, you know, whether you're doing a United Home Life application where you can do a phone interview, I would say, you know, Brett told me, he's like, hey, if you start doing the phone interview, 90% of the time, they'll fill out the application. And even with American Amicable, we'll say, hey, let me just ask you a couple quick questions here just to make sure you even qualify for this product. And I immediately pull out the application and go, in the past 7 years, have you, either you or your wife been diagnosed with the immune deficiency disorder or the AIDS virus? They go, no. And I start asking the questions, and a lot of times things will come up. And I just kind of make a little bit of a face like, ooh, okay, how long have you had the hypertension? And I kind of make it like, oh, this could be, this is a little tricky here, but it's really not tricky. We know that. You don't go, oh, that's fine, no big deal. In the past, you know, 7 years, whatever the question is, you know, been diagnosed, treated for, you know, blah, blah, for hypertension, high blood pressure. And they go, yeah, I have high blood pressure. I go, oh, okay. How long have you had that for? Oh, well, I think I got diagnosed for 3 years. Okay. All right. What was your last blood pressure reading? And now I'm starting to be inquisitive. I'm asking them questions. And now their posture, instead of me going, well, I don't know if I want to do this or not, now they're trying to qualify for something. That's way different. And I don't want to go into a whole story about that, guys. But when you're in a situation where you feel you're being sold versus you're trying to get something that you want, is a completely different posture. So immediately now they're going, oh, okay, or no, and you're asking the question, oh, no, oh, no, I'm fine with that, or I've had that problem, oh, no, you know, bipolar disease, dementia, no. And normally I'd probably say 8 out of 10 people, I'll continue filling out the application. But I explain the process to them, saying, hey, listen, you know, once we submit this application, you know, we have time. You know, if you're not really sure about the number of $90 or the $85, you know, it's always easier to go down in coverage than it is to go up. You know, and when I leave here tonight, I want to make sure you know, if you want to call me, if any questions, maybe run any more numbers, you know, we can make any adjustments before I deliver this policy, and they'll refund the difference of premium. Once I sit down with you and, you know, we agree this is a coverage that best fits your needs and it fits into the budget, you know, we still have 30 days after that to make any changes on the policy, and they'll continue to refund the premium. So if you decide you want to go with 120 and maybe you filled out all your bills, there's a lot of people that are brand new homeowners. They don't know what their electric bill is. They don't know what their gas bill is. They're not sure what it is, and that's kind of an objection you may get sometimes if it's a really, you know, fresh lead, a lead, and say, I completely understand that. You know, and you know, we have time to do that. You know, even after 30 days, I don't ever use the word cancel and you get your money back. I mean, why put that in their head? You know, if it's a concern, we want to put coverage in place. If it's not a concern, I don't want to waste my time writing an application or waste their time having to do it. So after we sit down and we go over the policy and you know, sign the delivery receipt, and we have 30 days after that to make any changes. Again, it's easier to go down than it is up. I wish you could see my hand motions right now. I go down and I go up, kind of like a, you know, 90-degree thing with my elbow. Even after that, at any point in time that you want to change this coverage or reduce the coverage, or maybe you decided you wanted to drop off critical illness because you found out you had more than you thought at work, whatever it is, just a simple phone call. We can change it, and moving forward, the premium will drop. So if that doesn't overcome that objection, right, and I'm still sitting out, and they go, well, you know, and I know I was with Brad on the one appointment we did. I learned so much from you, Brad, too. We did, you know, now everyone's going to be calling you. Can you do an appointment with me, Brad? That's after I already did 50,000 ATV, so I didn't have Brad there to go, show me what to do before I do it. I just wanted to see what he did. And it's so funny because Matt talked about it, too. It's like, you know, we all have the same recipe, but our spices are way different. I like it hot and spicy. I'm married to a Mexican, right? Brad likes it more mild, and it works for Brad, it works for Matt, it works for me. That's the part you're going to get. But if I'm still sitting there and they just kind of go, well, you know, yeah, you know, what's this voided check for and everything else, and I explain to them, say, you know, as opposed to the old days where you had to go out and write a check or mail in a money order, you know, they're going to take your first month premium as it goes through the underwriting process. And that's very important that you explain that to people, because otherwise you'd be like, why do they draft my account? You're not trying to exit the house. You know, some of you guys are so scared, like, oh, let me get out of the house before I have the deal before they change their mind. I'm talking them out of it. You know, I created enough value. They see the value. I'm like, okay, let's, you know, they're gonna pull out the first month premium. They're going to hold on to it while it goes through the underwriting process. If it does get denied, they'll put it right back in your account. But I always say, as opposed to the old way, where you either write out a check and mail it off or put a money order, oh, it sounds awful, right? Ugh. You know, here they just simply draft it out of your account. They're going to hang on to it while it goes through the underwriting process. If we make any changes along the way, they'll refund the difference of premium if you want to lower your coverage. Again, it's easier to go lower than it is to raise it. I always talk about that. And if it gets denied for any reason, which I don't think it will, but, you know, if there's something that pops up you didn't tell me about, you know, they'll put that money right back into your account. So if I'm at that point where they're just still not going, and there's a couple of reps I brought on that they told they want to think about it 5 or 6 times, and there's a couple other things I do, but at the very final point, I'm going to say, Sam, you know, let's say you're married to Maria, right? Sam, if this is something you need to think about, whether this is a concern to you or not, like, do you want to have, you need to think about whether you want to have coverage to protect your family if you were to pass away tomorrow, that your wife gets to stay in the home, or you don't leave a legacy of debt behind you. If that's what you need to think about, I'm going to just pack up my computer here. I'm going to take my stuff. I'll go. Don't fill out anything. I'll leave my name and number. I don't have business cards. I should probably get them. That's business cards. That's the way to success. But anyway, I'll leave my name and number here, and you can call me. And you, when you figure out if this is a concern to you or not, I'll come back and we'll talk more about writing up and applying for the application. But I don't think that's the case, is it? And I stop, and I wait for a response. And I wait for the response. I don't think it's the case, is it? And they usually say, well, no. So if this is a concern to you, let's go ahead and we'll apply for the coverage. And that point, guys, I want to make in their brain, is this a concern to them or not? If it is a concern to you, let's pick out a number that makes sense to you. We can always make the adjustments like we talked about. Let's start applying for this coverage. And I just look at them, and you know, I do it differently every other time as kind of like the main effect right there, and I just kind of say, you know, is this a concern to you or is it not? And we talked about it, and Sam, I think what you're starting to figure out being out in the field is that out of 10 people I've left who told me they wanted to think about it, they're going to get it, I come home with my wife, oh, they're going to get it, they're going to call me in a couple of days, probably less than one, maybe one of them, luck out of 10, actually get the coverage. Out of the other 10 that I write the application and the policy with and get their boy a check and bring it through, 8, or actually more, 9 out of 10 keep the coverage, and I've yet to have more than one or two people that wanted to make any type of adjustments. And it all goes into the fact that in our brains, we all justify why we buy. Every one of you on the phone have justified why you spent more money than you could afford for a piece of jewelry, a gift for a friend, a Valentine's gift for a loved one, a car you didn't really need, the Sirius XM and the heated seats and the cool leather seats, and you convince yourself on all the reasons and justify all the reasons why you should buy. We've also done the opposite, where we justify reasons, all the reasons we don't need that. Well, the gas mileage isn't as good, and I don't really need heated seats. I mean, I keep the car in the garage most of the time. And the difference is, what conversation are they having with their wife or their loved one, even their financial planner? What conversation are they having with them when you leave? Without an application, they're justifying whether you think so or not, or you convinced yourself it's not true, it's a special situation, rubbish. I feel like my father saying the word rubbish. They're justifying why they don't need it. Versus when you leave with the application, they're justifying the reasons why. Hey, honey, I really think we could cut back on this. I think it's important to have coverage in place. You know, this is something I think we really need. We've been talking about it for a while. I mean, they sent a form in at one point in time. They had an emotional response, and that's why we get back to that. And Brad is so awesome at pulling out the why, and Matt as well. And it took me a while to get better at that. And, you know, one of the things, I'm going to end with this because we could go all night, and this is an awesome call in terms of some of the things that I've learned already just from Matt and Brad. And you know, they think I'm, you know, oh, you're edifying us, you're building us up. I'm telling you what, I am so honored and privileged. I would not be on this phone tonight without having leaders like Matt and Brad. I always talk about I got sucked into this against my will, but you know what? I would not be where I'm at in terms of symmetry without Matt and Brad's help. So if you have a chance to talk to them, you have a chance to work with them, don't question them and ask them why and should I do it or should I not do it, or when you hang up the phone, hey, I like what he says, but. I mean, they have your financial interests at heart. The better you do, the better we all do. But hearing Brad talk and Matt, I mean, one of the things that I learned from my mentor, I think that was invaluable, and we'll end the call with this, is that, you know, you got to be able to motivate the buyer to buy. You know, when you can motivate a buyer to buy, which basically is having them realize I need something versus being talked into buying something are completely two different things. And if you hear Matt and Brad talk, they're phenomenal at making people realize that they need something versus trying to talk them into buying something. And when you can create the realization in people that they say, I need this, that is an art. And that's all we're trying to do, guys. They already told us in some way, mail in that form, and I think I need this. I'm not sure I need this. I want some numbers to see if I can afford this. All we got to go in and do is create that realization in that person where they say, I need this. When they say, I need this, it's just a matter of filling out the application and applying for it. We're not trying to sell them on that. And Matt and Brad have mastered that. It's an art. They are great at creating the realization that have people say, I need this, as opposed to trying to sell it to them. And I know because of their success, I mean, they're getting so much recognition from the top. And I mean, they go out and do a boot camp, and people are basically asking for their autographs. Oh, my God, this is amazing. How do you do that? And you know, Symmetry has asked them to do to host the call this Wednesday. And again, guys, make phone calls. Don't be texting and, oh, Facebook, really big call. Matt and Brad Smith are going to be honored by the company. Be on the. I would get every single living, breathing soul that you have in your organization or you're getting started in the organization to be on the call this Wednesday. Wednesday, the Symmetry call. It's on our agenttraining.info underneath pre-licensing steps, underneath tools. There's a conference call schedule. Underneath I passed my test, there's a conference call schedule. It's Wednesday at 1 p.m. Eastern, 12 Central. The two special guests on the Symmetry call this week are going to be Matt and Brad. I would do everything in your power to get those people on that phone because not only, you got to understand, guys, not only, oh, well, you know, great, Matt, Brad, yeah, you know, balloons and confetti. That's not what we're doing here, guys. What is that going to do for your business that you have two access to two of the top people in the company that are being pedestaled by the company as the new and up-and-coming rising stars and leaders of the company, building one of the most fastest organizations, doing over 100,000 with no experience faster than anyone else ever did it, and then you have an opportunity to get your people to be coached and mentored and trained by them. So Wednesday, 12 Central, 1 Eastern, the phone number's in your agent training. You should get an email if you're on the SFG site. It's on your SFG site. Let's have a big presence, guys. We get emailed. And sometimes it's embarrassing because we get emailed as agency managers, and Matt forwards the email to see how many of people are actually on the call Wednesday or not. But again, guys, get good at creating that realization in people that they say, I need this versus selling them. Attack with a vengeance. Be like a tornado. Be like a hurricane. Let people know you're there. So we appreciate everyone giving them a call tonight. God bless. Have a good evening.